Today we celebrate our patronal feast as a parish. So a happy feast day to all of you. And this is the feast of the Holy Trinity, and therefore the foundation for everything that we believe. And yet, what we're seeing as we watch is not only that people are walking away from the faith, but they are no longer believing. It's no wonder they're walking away. There is a professor down in Arizona who did a survey recently, and he asked one question in this survey, and it was about the Trinity. Now, it may be that the way that he asked the question was a little difficult for people. I don't know. But the question was basically, do you believe in one God who is three persons sharing the same substance? It's not quite the way he worded it. It was a little more difficult in wording than that. But regardless, nine percent of people who said that they were Catholic said that they believe that. 9%. You can't be Christian if you don't believe in the Holy Trinity. There are three religions that call themselves monotheistic: the Jewish people, the Muslim people, the Christian people. Monotheistic means that they believe that there is only one God. The difference, however, is for Christian people, we believe that there is one God who is three persons. When we ask ourselves, how can that be? How can three be one? It's a matter that theologically, we would say they share the same substance. In other words, when we talk about God the Son and God the Holy Spirit, we are not talking about beings who came later on. We're not saying God the Father was up there in heaven and decided to create the Son so he'd have somebody to talk to, and then he created the Holy Spirit so that there would be fellowship among them. No. All three are God. All three are simultaneous. The Son and the Holy Spirit do not have a beginning, nor does the Father, and they will not have an end. They share the same substance, which means, unlike us, each one of us has our own substance, our own being. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit do not. The three are one. They have one divine mind, they have one divine will, and they have one divine substance shared equally among the three, which means that they cannot be separated. When we look at the readings today, Jesus talks very specifically about not only the fact that he is God and everything that he has came from the Father, but the Holy Spirit is going to receive from what is the Lord's, and he's going to tell it to you because he said, everything I have is from the Father. So everything I have is from the Father, and everything the Holy Spirit has from me, well, then the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit have everything the same. And we see this in many ways throughout the Scriptures. But even there, we have to look at it and ask the question, is it just a matter that people don't believe in the Trinity? Or do people not believe that there is only one God? Because we're living in a time where there is this explosion of heresies, a neo-pagan situation. That unfortunate girl who thought she went up into space a few months ago kept on saying the same thing over and over again, which, if it was slightly different, would be something that I regularly would condemn. But what she said is almost even worse. She kept saying, "Oh my goddess, oh my goddess." It's like, really? But the worship of the goddess has been exploding in America the last 10 years. There isn't one. But lots of people are worshiping this thing. We have the neo-pagan thing rising, where you can choose whomever you want and whatever you want. You can believe in anything these days because we live in a world of relativism. There is no objective truth. You just make up your own. So let's be very clear what we believe. We believe that there is only one God. Why? Because God is absolutely perfect. And I use the word absolutely in an absolute sense, and I use perfect in the absolute sense. God is absolutely perfect, which means he is lacking nothing. And if there were two absolutely perfect beings, then they would be identical. If they're identical, there could only be one. Which means that anything that is not perfect cannot be God. So why would anybody want to worship something that's not perfect? If that were the case, you have to ask yourself simply, what would be my criteria for declaring something or someone to be God? Do I just look for somebody who's smarter than me? Do I look for somebody who's more talented than me? I mean, what are we going to decide? Einstein is God because he's pretty smart? Some football player is God because he's more athletic than I am? This artist is God because he can paint some pretty amazing things? They're creatures just like you and me. Maybe they're more talented or maybe they're more intelligent, but they're not God. And neither is Satan. He is created. He is an angel who is fallen. He is not God. There can only be one because God is perfect. And if you want to worship something that is imperfect, my suggestion is go home, look in the mirror, light a candle. Because I guess you're God now, because you're imperfect too. You can read the Roman and Greek and so on mythology, and all their false gods are just like you and me. They're imperfect. They've got all their problems. Why would you want to believe in some of that nonsense? You may as well just believe in yourself. But you see, you are made in the image and likeness of God. That's right on the first page of the Bible. And when you are made in the image and likeness of God, what did the Lord say? Let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Let us. You see, in the book of Genesis, God on numerous occasions is in Hebrew called Elohim. The singular form for God is El, just E-L. Elohim is plural, just like a single angel from the highest choir is a seraph. And a plurality of them are the seraphim, or a cherub and the cherubim. The I-M ending in Hebrew is plural. So when God is called Elohim, we're talking about a plurality. Not a plurality of gods, however, because whenever the pronoun is used, it is always singular. He, not they, he. So we have a plurality of persons, but only one God. We see that right in the very first verse. We have the Spirit of God hovering over the waters. And so we see that there are these indicators right from the very beginning of creation that God has revealed to us. But again, we can look at this and go, okay, well, how can three be one? Because they share the same substance, as I said. What that means is that there are three distinct persons, but because they all share the same substance, they are all absolutely perfect. Why does there have to be three? Why can't there just be one? That's what the Jewish people believe. That's what the Muslim people believe. Why can't there just be one? Because God has revealed himself as love. And he's revealed himself as truth. And he's revealed himself as life. What's that mean? It means love is a relationship. If you are in love with yourself, which is an epidemic in America today, we would call that narcissism. If there is only one God, and God is love, he has to have somebody to love. He can't be in love with himself, or we've got a God who's a narcissist. I don't think any of us want to worship a narcissist. But love by its nature cannot just be in two. Any married couple understands that. You, I hope, are absolutely, totally, completely in love with one another. But you can't just sit and stare at each other all day long. Your love has to overflow the boundaries of the two who are in love with one another, become life-giving for others. God is love. Love cannot just remain in two. It must overflow. And so there have to be three. God is not revealed as any more than that. So there are three persons because God is love. Now he's also revealed himself, as I said, as truth and as life. And you're made in the image and likeness of God. So you have a soul. And your soul is the principle of life. That's how you have life. When you die, your soul leaves the body. When the soul and the body are united, you have life. But the soul has two faculties, a mind and a will. Your brain is not your mind. That's a hard thing for people to grasp. Your mind is actually a faculty of your soul. And the mind is made for truth. And your will is made for love. So you, in your soul, have life, truth, and love. Exactly who God reveals himself to be. And he made you in his image and likeness so that you would have life, truth, and love. Now, if you have life, truth, and love, you're not three, you're one. And so we look at God. Again, he has one divine mind. All three persons share that one divine mind so that he is truth. All three persons share the one divine will. God is love. And God is life in himself. Jesus said that. The Father has life in himself. And I have life in myself, to whomever I want to give life. So it's the nature of God that he is life, love, and truth. So again, we see that reflected in our own self. And we could go on and on about all these different things, and quite honestly, it's a delicate topic to talk about because the Trinity is the most difficult area in theology for people to understand. And I kind of smiled back a few years ago because I heard a theologian talking, and it was Trinity Sunday coming up, and he said, it's what I refer to as Heresy Sunday. He said, because most priests get it wrong and they preach heresy to the people. They're trying to explain how you can have three persons who are one God, and the way that they explain it is usually wrong. And so I don't want to go too far because I don't want to teach any heresy. But we believe in one God. And we believe that God is three persons. And in just a minute, when we stand up and pray the creed, pay attention. Not only do we start by saying, I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, then a little bit later we say, I believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, and then we say, I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life. We profess our belief in one God who is three persons. That is the essence and the foundation of our Christian faith. Everything else flows from that. If we do not believe in the Most Holy Trinity, then we cease to be Christian. That's how critical this point is. So it is not something that you necessarily have to go home tonight and be able to explain to everybody, because you're probably not going to. The priests usually get it wrong and they preach heresy. Chances are the way you're going to explain it, you're going to get it wrong too. So we don't want that. What you have to believe is that there is one God. And that one God is three persons, three equal divine persons. That's what we have to believe. That distinction between Father, Son, and Holy Spirit only refers to God in the Holy Trinity. Outside of the immanent Godhead, all three persons act together because where one is, the others are. They share the same substance. Just like with you, your soul can't be in one place and your body be in another. It doesn't work. You'd be dead if that were the case. So where part of you is, the rest of you has to be there. God doesn't have parts. We can't break him down. He is absolutely simple. But where one person is, therefore, the other two are there. Always. So we can talk about the Trinity, we can pray to the individual persons of the Trinity, and yet you realize if you're talking about one, you're talking about all three. You're praying to one, you're praying to all three. So the critical point again is that we believe in the truth. The truth is that there is only one God. And the truth is that one God is three persons because God is love, God is truth, God is life. We are made in his image and likeness with those same attributes. So that's why we look beyond ourselves, not to worship some creature, not to worship something that is imperfect, to worship the one true God who is absolutely perfect. And the three persons united together, sharing the one divine substance, that's the God we worship. And everything else flows from that. If we don't believe in the Trinity, then we're saying Jesus isn't God, the Holy Spirit isn't God. Or we're saying that there are three different gods, like three of us sitting here in the pew today. No. They are not like that. The three are one. Just as those three points that I mentioned about your soul are one. You can talk about them separately. You can't separate them out from one another. Your mind can't be over there and your will over here and your life over somewhere else. All three are united. And so it is with God. You cannot separate them. They are all three one. And that's what we profess. And that's what we maintain. And so as we celebrate this and recognize, yes, it defines who we are as Christian people. In a special way, it defines us who are members of this parish that is named after the Holy Trinity. So this is what we're all about. And that's what we have to be able to recognize. People, if only 9% of people who call themselves Catholic say that they believe in the Trinity, we are in big, big trouble, way worse than what I thought. Some of it, like I say, I attribute to the fact that the way the guy asked the question was rather difficult. But regardless, it's still a rather jarring thing. So we really need to look within and ask ourselves, and especially now as we stand and pray the creed, ask yourself what I'm saying. Do I really believe it? And that's what we say, I believe. Have to ask yourself, do I really? Because if we don't, then we have separated ourselves from the Christian faith.